Before we begin our Torah study, let's take some time and pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This morning we read from Torah, the very beginning, after having rolled the Torah scroll back to the very beginning, and we read these words. You can repeat them after me. Barashit, bara, Elohim, et ha-shamayim, va'et ha-aretz. See, your Hebrew's getting better just by sitting here. Repetition can really help. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how it all begins. It's a worthwhile question to ask yourself this question. Worthwhile to ask this. Why is this the first idea of Torah? And why is it important to know that the universe has a creator? Why is it important to know that humanity has a creator? And what happens if you're unaware or you're ignorant of this? These are serious questions to pay attention to. And Torah begins with this profound statement, in the beginning, God created, and it uses a very specific word for creation, bara. Say that again, bara, which means to cause to come into existence something that had no prior existence, no form, no substance. He created out of nothingness other than his own word. He spoke and it came to pass. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here's what's amazing. In verse 1 of the first book of the Bible, in the first chapter, it tells us something that science has finally figured out. That time, space, and matter have to come into existence all at once, because none of them can exist independently. So if you think God doesn't know how to reveal things that people haven't yet learned, be alert. With this information, you see something, that God existed before the creation of the world. He's not to be confused with the universe he created. He creates by his word. As we read in the scriptures, he'll say something like, light be, and light was. He creates also by differentiation. Sometimes his creative process is this: he takes what has been formed and then he separates it out so that there is morning, there is evening. He separates darkness from light. He separates, he distinguishes, he differentiates, he brings things into existence by making them more of what they are supposed to be. And it's sort of like how he works with us. Have you ever felt like you just needed to become more of who God wants you to be? And you know there's something there already, but it's sort of all mixed up, and it needs to be differentiated so that you can become more effective. You can become more purposeful. When we read this, it's during the conclusion of our high holidays, and we are finishing up a prior holiday, Sukkot. We're finishing up this series of high holidays that began with Rosh Hashanah and then moved to Yom Kippur and then to Sukkot, and then the conclusions of Sukkot, which we're now celebrating. And it's important for us to remember one of the most significant, perhaps the most primary of themes for Sukkot is this: God wants to dwell with you. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to dwell in you. Now, if you're sitting next to someone who you think could be a dwelling place for God, smile at them. Recognize what they are and what they can be. And just affirm to them, God wants to dwell in you. God wants to dwell in you. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to live inside of you. And he wants the life that he gives you this way to then be expressed outwardly. So he wants to get to the inside. Now, there's always a temptation with religious folk that they won't let God on the inside. They only let him to the outside. If you follow the news, you can see that people, whether they're religious or not, have difficulty being consistent. Right? There are people who advocate women's rights and equality and then are abusive of women. There are people who are pro-life and having adultery and having pregnancy out of wedlock and then even encouraging their mistress to have an abortion. And so the outward is one thing. What God is looking for is to get inside of you and then to work from the inside out. That's his goal. That's his purpose. That's why it's important to remember some of the things Yeshua said. Don't be like those who wear masks, who pray in such a way in public that they're trying to get attention for themselves. And let prayer rise up from the secret place in you. Let prayer be expressed even in ways where no one is going to honor you because of your prayer, but God is going to work through that. God is alive, and he wants to live inside of us. And God is the one who creates life. He creates life that begets life. So you know what that means? You're a begetter. I remember as a young person reading in the Bible this word I had encountered nowhere else. So-and-so begat so-and-so. How many of you remember that from your kidship, the time of your youth? And of course, when you're in school, no one's saying, did anyone begat today? It's just not a word we use normally, but it's a great word. Genesis teaches us that God creates life. And he creates life that can create life. You will beget. You'll bring life to other people. If you know that God has created you, if you know that he's the author of life for you, if you know that you've been made in the image of God and that you're called to display the splendor of our God, then you'll be mindful of this, that the life you live has a begetting influence on other people. When God is alive in you, he uses you to bring life to other people, to bring good news to other people, to strengthen them. Now, I think that the holidays we've been celebrating give a lot of meaning to us and can be meaningful to your life because they help us recognize the authority of God. They help us recognize the high calling in our life. And as we go from Rosh Hashanah and the proclamation of the kingship of our God to Yom Kippur, where we stand before God in humility, confessing our sins, we're examining ourselves. And we're taking stock of our sins and our failures and our need for redemption. And I think that helps us so that we can recognize our own lowliness. Not loneliness, but lowliness. That we are low and God is high. And we are flawed and God is perfect. And this helps us become humble dwelling places for the Lord. And maybe that is one of the reasons why God says, build a sukkah. Use all of your effort to build something that's kind of shabby. And remember, God was with us in the wilderness when we lived in shabby huts. And now you have become the sukkah of God. Okay, if you're still sitting next to someone who likes you, tell them this. I'm kind of shabby. I'm kind of shabby, but God wants to live in me. Now you have this idea of the humility of God. He could have found better than us. He surely could have. But he found us. And you know what? It's his honor to come to us. He elevates us by coming down to be with us. He brings us to himself in all of his humility and yet all of his perfection. And he wants one thing. He wants us to welcome him. He wants us to become a dwelling place for him. He wants to dwell within us, but he doesn't want to hide inside of us. Even though he may be in hiding sometimes, the fact is God wants to reveal himself in us. He wants to reveal himself to us, and he wants to reveal himself through us to other people. So he comes into that humble place inside of us in order to make himself known not only to us but to other people. This means that the life of faith is meant to be life-producing, not only for ourselves but for other people. It's meant to stir us up. It's meant to equip us. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is meant to equip us so that we can live for God. Contrary to some religious ideas, the Holy Spirit is not given to the ones who have achieved perfection or are the best of the best. The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who repents and puts their trust in the Lord, who accepts the atoning sacrifice that God himself accomplished through Yeshua, so that every one of us can grow up in him and every one of us can express the glory of God. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it tells us that it was on the last and the greatest day of the great Sukkot festival that ended with Hoshana Rabbah, the great day. And Yeshua stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Tanakh has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit. By this he meant the Spirit. The Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Yeshua had not yet been glorified. Yeshua celebrated Sukkot. He came a little late, the scripture says, the last time. He came a little late and he said, "Anybody here thirsty, come to me. What I've got will give you life." And then he made this promise that the one who puts their trust in him would not only be satisfied for themselves, but out of them would flow rivers of living water. Verse 40, on hearing his word, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." The prophet meaning the one who would proclaim the coming of Messiah. And other people argued with them and said, "No, he's actually the Messiah." And still others argued with them and said, "Well, how can Messiah come from Galilee? Doesn't scripture say Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" And so the people were divided about their opinion of Yeshua. How is it that the one, Yeshua from Nazareth, came from Bethlehem? The Gospels tell us. So that was a good scriptural question. How could he be Mashiach? He's from Nazareth. Ah, yes, but it was a little hospital in Bethlehem. Not much of a hospital. Shabby hospital. Not even a hospital. He was born in Bethlehem. One of the reasons I think the holidays are so useful and so important is because they connect us to the lifestyle of Yeshua and the experiences that he had. This week's Haftorah portion is in Isaiah 42. I want to start in the first verse, which we did not read, but you can turn there. By the way, did you bring a Bible? You should always bring a Bible. Who has a real Bible? You know, it's made out of... Now, wait a minute. A real Bible is made out of... Oh. Well, who has a real Bible? The digeratis, yeah. Okay, they're all real Bibles. But try to roll your iPhone Bible. Try to roll your paper Bible. Good luck. It really won't work, but these Bibles are very useful to us. Isaiah 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. If you've ever felt fragile or not very worthy, you may have felt like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. If you've ever felt that you just didn't have the fire burning in you like it once did, you're a smoldering wick. And here's the good news. Our gentle Messiah, strong as he is, powerful as he is, comes to the bruised reeds and looks at them, and he doesn't break them. And he comes to the smoldering wick, and he doesn't snuff it out. No, he tries to revive and renew and restore. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on the earth. Would it be that you and I are like that too? That we will not be discouraged and we will not stumble or falter. We will not give up until he accomplishes all that he wants to. In his teaching, the islands, that's a Hebrew idiom for the really far away places, will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people. You know what the word for breath is in Hebrew? Ruach, breath, spirit, who gives ruach to its people and life to those who walk on it. Now we understand something about creation. God created the universe so that there could be a world in which humanity could dwell, so that there could be human beings who could dwell on this earth, because he wants to give life to those who are walking on the earth. Now, you could smile again at those people sitting next to you and saying, God wants to give you life as you're walking on this earth. He wants to give you life. He wants to give you life so that when you walk on this earth, everywhere you're walking, you are bringing the life of God. In John chapter 1, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And all things were created by him and through him. And nothing came into existence apart from him. Interestingly, when the Hebrew Bible was translated into Aramaic, not Greek, Aramaic. Say that word with me, Aramaic. It's a related Semitic language, but a dialect. When it was translated into Aramaic, there was a word, memra. Say that too, memra. And it was used to translate every occasion where it described the Lord being physically present in the earth and doing something. And so in Genesis, after God creates mankind, it tells us in the Hebrew that the sound of the Lord was heard as he was walking in the garden. And in the Aramaic, it says the sound of the Memra was heard as he was walking. And the Memra is the same idea as the Aramaic logos, the word of God. And so the sound of the word of God was heard walking. The presence of God was manifest in this way. And he wants to give spirit. He wants to give his spirit. He wants to give life. Verse 6 of Isaiah 42, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the nations. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. As we're moving forward into this new year, I want to encourage you, get life. Get more life. If you need more life, do you know where to get it? From the Lord. Take Yeshua's word seriously. If you're thirsty, come and drink. Now, if you have a problem with alcohol, don't go to the alcohol. Drink of him, living water. If you're in Puerto Rico and the water's not so good, go to him first. Get pure water, living water, Mayim Chayim, living water. And there's this promise that you will become a river yourself of living waters. And that what God gives you, who God gives you, the Holy Spirit, will flow out from you to other people, and you will have an impact on other people from the inside out. Where does God want to live? On the inside. What does he want to do from the inside? He wants to work his way outside through you. He doesn't want to escape from you. He wants to manifest himself through you. So I'm praying as we're concluding the holidays that you will not think, oh, finally, though you may be tempted. But you will say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, that you have beginnings, you have times, you have seasons, you have conclusions to periods in our lives, and your desire is to be fruitful in us, through us, and for the benefit of your kingdom and for other people. God has created you to be a begetter, to beget spiritual life to other people. So with this in mind, let's pray. Lord, we come before you in the awesome name of Yeshua, the one who redeems us, the one who came down from heaven, the Logos, the Memra, Adonai himself, and walked among us, who took on human form and became a covenant for us, for the redemption of the whole world. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for new life. Thank you for resurrection life. And thank you for all that is to come. We dedicate ourselves to you, to your glory, to your honor, that we might be faithful servants in Yeshua's name. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And then afterwards, take your stuff and go next door for bagels and cream cheese. And those who are attending the welcome class, come back at 1 o'clock in the Talmudim room. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.